Okay, we are now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Alan Gustafson. Alan, congratulations. Quite a run out there today. Just walk us through that championship-winning race.
Yeah, what an intense race. Super competitive, you know. Congrats to all the championship four guys. I think that besides us starting in the back, those guys were in the top four or five all day long. So it was just everybody had really fast cars and really competitive. And, yeah, we're really fortunate to come out on top. And I was a little worried there when the 22 got in front of us on that pit exchange, but our car was good enough at the end to get past them. So it was a really special day.
Okay, we'll open up to questions for Alan. If you have one in Zoom, raise your hand. If you're in the room, you can raise your real hand. And we'll kick it off with Bob down here.
Yeah, Alan, obviously you guys had a lot of speed today, and you guys have this new coming relationship with ECR. I heard maybe that you guys have implemented some things that ECR was using. So was it your engine or ECR's engine? How much of an impact did that have?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know all the details, but it's certainly a collaborative effort between ECR and HMS, and you know, the Chevy teams have. It's been a great evolution in our relationship, and everybody's working really well together. And I think the performance obviously showed on the track today, and I think it's going to continue to yield good results. So. Got to thank certainly Hendrick Engines and ECR Engines and Chevrolet and all they've done to give us a great engine and a great package with great durability today. And it was, a huge benefit.
And also, can you just kind of go through pre-race tech and what happened?
Thanks. Yeah, certainly. It's unfortunate, and I apologize for the to our sponsors and Napa and, you know, everybody involved. We don't want to go through that. We had our left rear quarter top was low, and there's a few spots on it, and we had to fix a couple other things, and we went around and ultimately worked on the left rear quarter top and tried to get it up. The rear package tray and the quarter top kind of meet there together, and it's hard to get into that quarter top from the trunk or from the inside, and we did what I thought was enough, and we worked on it, and unfortunately it wasn't. It's tough for us in those situations. There's just no way to know how much we've moved the body panel, and you try to go a little more than you think you need to, and we thought we did, and unfortunately we didn't. So I hate that happened. I hate that we put that everybody in a bad spot there. So fortunately we got it right for the third time.
Next we'll go to Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congrats, Bob. Alan. A follow-up on that question. I just wondered how did that leave you guys going into today? Was it really, did you think it was really much of a, going to be a bad headache to start that way? Or how did you think it was going to play out?
I didn't. I wasn't, you know, you don't want to start in the back, and you certainly don't want to give up first spot, but I didn't feel like it was going to be a huge disadvantage. And then, you know, as the race went on, I started to realize how hard it was going to be to pass. And I was like, man, that could have been a huge deciding factor. It's just the top, you know, all the guys in the championship were so fast and so good. And it was, you know, tough to pass, especially, you know, the leader. So it was certainly concerning. You know, I started, once we kind of got up into the top five, I realized, man, you know, we got to figure out a way to get around these guys. It's going to be hard to do. It's going to be hard to pass those championship guys, and certainly the leader.
And I know you already, you know, you have a really talented driver, but could you describe a little bit what you have seen out of Chase, particularly over the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm his biggest fan. There's his ability, his intelligence, his, the quality person he is. He's just, he's top notch all the way around. And I think that just going through those situations and succeeding, you know, gives you some confidence to not be indecisive and not second guess yourself and not let doubt creep in when you get into a situation that's, you know, not ideal. And when you go through races that are must wins and championship moments like this, No matter if you do everything perfect, you're still going to have some adversity to overcome. And I think, you know, him being able to win in those moments has given him some confidence to know that he's certainly good enough to do it. I mean, we all know that. And, you know, you can hear it, but until you do it, you just don't know that. And I think that now it's, you know, giving him that reassurance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll go to Michael Knight. You can holler from there, Michael.
Yeah, I was not. I don't know how he found out. I'm sure that by the time I talked to him, it was pretty well publicized. So I wasn't the person to tell him. But we did talk about it, obviously. And you know, he's super supportive of us and what we're trying to do, and has a lot of faith and confidence in us as we do him. So it's just a situation we were in, and we had to make the most of it and the best of it. You never know. I did feel like coming in here, based on how we've run over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, I know the finishes aren't there and the stats may not be the best, but we've run really good, and we've had some real tough situations and circumstances with knocking a valve stem off in this race last year, or speeding on pit road, or we got an accident off of turn two a few years ago, but we've just been at the front. We've had a lot of speed, a lot of pace. So I had a lot of confidence. And to be honest with you, that winning with four different drivers here is cool. I'm super proud of that. And I hadn't won on the new configuration. So the old configuration, we had a lot of success and hadn't been able to master this new one. And I think it's finally wore out enough and tires fall off enough that the stuff that we try to do is kind of back in style. Thank you.
Excuse me. Next, we'll go to Dustin Long.
Thank you. Alan, throughout your career, you've had the experience of working with some younger drivers and also veteran drivers. And I'm curious, as there are a number of younger drivers moving up and certainly your organization's full of them now, can you give me a sense of perspective of working with a younger driver? What are the things that you had to do as a crew chief? What are the things that the driver has to rely on other people, and how that works when they're relying on other people, trying to get as much information as possible? I'm sure there's some challenges and just how you work with a younger driver and how you work with Chase those early years to build to this moment.
Yeah, it's a bit different, you know, but it's very similar. I think I learned something when I worked with Mark Martin and we sat down and, you know, obviously he had a huge amount of success and we had a long conversation about what we need to do and how we need to proceed. And I can remember through that conversation, he told me to treat him like a rookie. He said, you know, don't treat me like a veteran. Don't treat me like, I know what I'm doing. Just treat me like a rookie and give me as much information as possible and use as much information you can to influence me and help me and move forward. And really, to be honest with you, since that point in time with him, I've taken that philosophy. I mean, I think he taught me a pretty valuable lesson. So regardless if it's Mark Martin, Jeff Gordon, Chase Elliott, the team, myself, we just tried to put the drivers in the best position we can to, so they succeed and feed them as much information as we can and try to educate them as much as possible and try to put them in a position, put their best foot forward. And certainly you got to give them their individual, leeway or attributes or different things they have. And certain guys are good at certain things, but I think you just try to support them as much as you can. And I think we've taken that philosophy with Mark and with Jeff and with Chase and to be honest with you, Chase is, you know, he's not a normal 24-year-old person. That's for sure. He's got the, physical attributes and skill sets of a 24-year-old, but he's got the intelligence and experience of someone much older and wiser. So, you know, he acts like he's a 35-year-old in his prime. So he's very similar to the great champions I've worked with before, and he's going to be, you know, every bit as good or better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you, and congratulations, Alan. Sorry we couldn't be there to enjoy this with you. Just kind of curious, since you've been with him through his development in the Cup Series, where have you seen his biggest gains, and what has surprised you the most about him in this short period of time?
That's a tough question, because I can remember we tested with him at Nashville way back in the day. I mean, it was years before he even drove our car, but Jeff had to go somewhere and he came in and filled in. And then, like, even then, you know, he was just getting ready to run Xfinity, or was running Xfinity. You know, I knew, it's like, man, this kid is fast. Like, he's really good. And from one time he showed up, he was ready to win, you know. And the thing that I look back at in the first couple of years, there's so many races I feel like we should have won and were in position to win. And it's almost like we were keeping ourselves from winning, or, you know, obsessing over it too much, or and not just being natural and doing what we know we can do and execute and just have confidence and trust in ourselves. And that's what I see that's changed, is I think that he now trusts in his ability, and he is very decisive, and he doesn't, you know, second guess himself, and he doesn't race, you know, not to lose, but he races to win. And I think that the whole team's come along that journey with him, and that's what I see the difference. You know, he's obviously improved, but he's not improved. I mean, he's not that much different of a driver really than he was when, you know, when he was a rookie. He's certainly gotten better in laps help, and knows the lines, and knows, you know, what he needs out of his car, and the intangibles, and on and off pit road and in and out of the pit box and all those different things. But I think just the confidence in being extremely decisive in going out to win instead of going out not to lose is the difference.
At one point during the course of the race, you asked him what he needed, how his car was reacting, and he said, "What do I know? I'll let you make the decision." You know, at what point do you see his maturation level where he's comfortable enough to give you the type of feedback that's necessary to just really get the cars dialed in?
Yeah, I think that it's there. And I think, you know, when you listen to that, when you're at home, you're like, you know, he's not giving feedback, or he's not telling us what we need. And actually, that's a very mature thing to say, because I think the point that he's trying to make is he doesn't feel like what he needs to make him feel comfortable or the car easier to drive is ultimately going to be the fastest thing to do. And that's what he's referring to. And in this situation, he was right. If we would have done what ultimately would have made him the most comfortable, we would have not been as fast. And so he was basically defaulting to me to say, "Hey, just make it fast and I'll do the rest." But it kind of gets lost in translation, but that's ultimately what he was saying.
Appreciate your time. Safe travels.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate everything.
Next, we're going to Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Alan, congratulations on this. Obviously this was a race at a 750 horsepower racetrack, and four of the five wins that you had this year were on those kinds of tracks, obviously these last 2 weeks, particularly. Was there any extra emphasis on this package this year? Obviously the road courses are that package, and we've seen what this team is capable of there, but did you guys put any extra stock into this package?
No, I can't say that we did. And to be honest with you, I didn't really realize that statistic until you said it. So I did think our 550 stuff and the intermediate stuff was pretty good. And certainly we probably should have won a few more of those races. And we didn't. There he is. But I think that, I don't feel like there's any extra effort put there. I mean, I think we enjoy racing those style of tracks and the 750 package and being on the gas and braking and, you know, the short tracks in general. I consider this a short track. I know it's not probably technically called a short track, but that's what I consider it. So, you know, places that you got to brake and the car's got to drive good and the tires fall off, those are you know, that's just what we most enjoy. But I certainly think that our 750 stuff was pretty good. There were some tracks that we weren't very good, but one of them's gone, so I'm happy about that. And one of them lost race, so that's probably a little bit better for us too. So, no extra effort is a long way of saying no. We just, you know, we try to win every week. I know that sounds corny, but it's the truth.
This year was obviously unique. What kind of leadership did you feel was asked of yourself this year particularly, and how do you feel like you navigated it, and what role did that play in getting to where you are right now?
The cool, you know, silver lining in this year, and one thing that I've thoroughly enjoyed is it's been really pared down, and you know, I have to work on the cars, and Tom Gray, my lead engineer, works on the car, and Matt Barton, my car chief. You know, it's his first year as a car chief, and we all had to work together, and the whole team, everybody that goes to the track, from the truck drivers to all the team members, you know, everybody's got to pitch in and everybody's got to do a lot. And it just reminds me of the way, you know, racing was when I was growing up as a kid. It just was, you know, a small group of people, you know, probably working more hours than they should, and putting a lot of effort towards to, you know, try to have a common goal and win races. And the pit crew, everybody, you know, you know, it was very pared down, and all the specialty jobs evaporated when the pandemic hit and we went to this schedule. So I have a simple philosophy I always have, is you just lead by example. You know, talk's cheap. You got to go do it. You have to, you know, set that standard and go do what you want your guys to do. And you know, don't tell me, show me. So that's all I've ever tried to do. And this wasn't any different, but it was really intimate with the guys. And I really enjoyed that. I think the whole team did. It brought us together closer, and I think ultimately made us stronger. And it's something I think we've learned from, and will serve us well in the future. Just being able to lean on each other.
Thank you. Congrats again.
Thank you.
Okay, as you guys probably see, we got Jim Campbell waiting in the room. We'll take one more for Alan, and that'll go to Mark Garrow, and then we'll go to Jim.
All right, thank you. Congratulations, Alan. Sort of following up on what you were just talking about here, you've done the equivalent of hitting two back-to-back walk-off homers to win the championship, to get into the Final Four, then win the championship. Did you feel that this team had it in it the whole time, and how do you feel about your team coming through in this way, back to back with so much on the line?
Yeah, I absolutely felt like we could do it. You know, I feel like we have performed really, really well, and I just knew we had to operate at our maximum capacity and do the best job we could. And did I know we could win two races back to back and win Martinsville and Phoenix? I mean, you certainly believe you can, and you feel like you can, and you know, you can't say that you will or can or did until you do it, I guess. But I didn't have any. I never lacked confidence in this group or, you know, what we had. And you know, there was a time in the summer that we weren't very good, and I just knew those were tracks that just we weren't. They're just tracks that we historically weren't very good at. But the good news was that they weren't in the playoffs, so we just kind of had to battle through those times and not lose our heads and not get hit the panic button and just stay true to ourselves and keep pushing forward. So I was pretty confident that we could do it. I think that. The statistics show it. I mean, you got to kind of look a little deeper than wins, but I think if you look past that, you know, our stats are really right on top of anybody else's, who's even those guys that won, you know, 9-7 races. And ultimately, I think we should have been a little closer to that. And certainly Charlotte's on me. We should have won that race. So there's a few other that we probably should have won too. So ifs and buts, but we got the one that mattered.
Okay, Alan, thanks for all the time. Congratulations on an outstanding year and championship. And have a great rest of the night and enjoy the offseason.
Appreciate it, buddy.